Hello and welcome to Vox Talk on Tuesday, the 8th of July, 2025. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Stephen Harness and Ralph Weirs. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 4:56 and sunset is at 9:24. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Vox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Vox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Vox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Vox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Vox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to Vox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Vox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Vox Talk and we will try to help.
More than a mile of fires in the countryside were caused by a steam train running along a preserved railway line. Firefighters were called to reports of fires along the tracks of the Chinna and Princess Risborough Railway on Sunday. Four fire engines attended, as well as a water carrier, as the firefighters worked in arduous conditions of more than 30 degrees centigrade heat. They were battling a number of small fires along 1.5 miles of heritage railway between Chinna and Bledlow for about 5 hours, between 2:10 p.m. and 7:13 p.m. This included Wainhill Lane, where one householder, John Spiegelhalter, said it was lucky some of the surrounding dry barley fields didn't catch alight. Photos show scorched vegetation and singed wooden fence posts around the heritage train line that runs between Chinna and Princess Risborough, with Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service now confirming a steam train was responsible. A spokesperson said the cause was accidental after the passing of a steam locomotive on the heritage line. The spokesperson added, fire crews worked in arduous conditions along the length of this section of railway to extinguish spot fires, with fires at multiple line side locations.
A summer concert series has kicked off with a performance from a silver band and a historic setting. A series of free music and dance performances will be held in Wallingford over the summer months at the town's castle. The first summer at the Castle Gardens event welcomed Cholsey Silver Band to play on the green space near Wallingford Castle to the delight of listeners. A spokesperson for the band described it as a wonderful afternoon and thanked the town council for inviting the band to play. Further concerts will be held in July and August, including Wally Ukes and Goring and Streatley Band.
The number of homes in Oxford, funded by the government's housing body, has fallen short of what is needed to meet demand in the city, a housing chief has said. New figures released by Homes England, the government body responsible for funding new affordable housing, shows how many homes were delivered between April 2024 and March 2025. In Oxford, a total of 20 homes were completed by Homes England, and there were 69 starts on site. all of these homes were classed as affordable housing, including social rent and affordable home ownership. Last year, Homes England started to build 224 homes on site, while two homes were completed. Councillor Linda Smith, Cabinet Member for Housing on the City Council, said, "Oxford needs homes, so we're pleased to see affordable housing being delivered, but the number of homes supported through Homes England funding has previously fallen short of what is needed to meet demand in the city." In 2024-25, the council granted planning permission for 474 new homes. However, once permission is given, it's up to developers to build them. Too often, progress is slow. That's why we created our own housing company, Oxplace, to directly deliver new homes for the people of Oxford. In the last year, we have completed 109 affordable homes. Oxplace delivered 75 of these, all of which were genuinely affordable, including 85 homes let at social rent, 3 affordable rent, and 21 shared ownership properties. Under plans for local government reorganisation, Oxfordshire could be split into 1, 2, or 3 unitary councils, replacing the existing 2-tier system. Oxford City Council is pushing for the 3-council option, where a Greater Oxford Council would be formed based on the expansion of the city's boundaries, covering nearby villages like Kidlington, Kennington, Botley and Cumnor. Ms Smith said that if a Greater Oxford Council is formed, it could deliver 40,000 new homes and will ensure accessible and affordable homes where they are needed. She said, "We know delivering more affordable housing is essential if we're going to tackle Oxford's housing crisis. The City Council has been vocal in its push for more homes to be built, but this has sparked concerns from some over the impact it could have on rural villages, whether there is enough infrastructure to cope with the new housing, and the environmental impact." Ms Smith said the Council welcomed the Government's announcement to invest £39 billion in building affordable homes.
A team of 4 RAF servicemen have completed 92 holes of golf to raise money for the RAF's leading welfare charity. The challenge took place on Saturday, June 21st at Shrivenham Park Golf Club and raised funds for the RAF Benevolent Fund. The group played 5 rounds of golf plus 2 extra holes starting at 4:45 a.m. and finishing at 9:50 p.m. Corporal Sam Davin, who is based at RAF Bryce Norton in Carterton, said, "My family and I received support from the fund in 2021 when I was returning from deployment and we had to relocate from the north of England to RAF Bryce Norton. It was a very short notice move for our family as my role was starting earlier than planned. The fund covered the cost of our van hire and fuel, which was a huge help to us. The team also raised money from Compass, a support group for military families with children who have special educational needs. The team have raised more than £1,600 for the 2 charities so far through a GoFundMe page." Corporal Davin said, "My son is autistic and so we are keen to raise awareness of this cause, just like we did on the challenge in 2022. We completed the challenge in 17 hours and 20 minutes and walked a total of 58,000 steps.
Bosses at a charity shop in Oxford City Centre have said donations cannot be taken right now because of health and safety reasons. A sign has been placed outside British Heart Foundation in St Ebbs Street that says, "Dear customers, due to H&S, we cannot accept any donations until further notice. Sorry for any inconvenience." When asked, Margaret Richardson, British Heart Foundation's area manager for Oxford, said it is because staff are on holiday. She said, "We're incredibly grateful to the community for their continued generosity and donations to our shop in Oxford. Due to staff holidays, the team hasn't been able to take any donations this week, but we're hoping to be back to normal in the coming days. In the meantime, our nearest British Heart Foundation shop in Abingdon is open as normal and accepting donations. Alternatively, you can download our free post to donate label and pop your items in the post to us. In a year, the British Heart Foundation saves more than 54,000 tonnes of goods from going to waste, including 186,000 sofas and armchairs, and also resells 11,000 tonnes of pre-loved clothes. Each year, the British Heart Foundation shops and stores raise millions to help the charity to fund life-saving research into all heart diseases, stroke, vascular dementia, and diabetes. It has 680 shops and stores across England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland.
A social cooperative community initiative has transformed a former office space into a thriving community hub. The Wilvercote Mill is a new meeting place, safe space and activities centre for the community in the village on the edge of Oxford after being transformed by a couple who launched a charitable community benefit society. The former office space was given to the community on the completion of the Carla Homes development in 2023. The Society of Volunteers formed out of the consultations with how the community would like to be used, took responsibility for the space's financial sustainability and introduced a small garden, wellness classes, craft and music workshops, affordable meals and a cafe. They were led by Lorna and Roger Smalley, who wanted to give back to the area. Miss Smalley said, "Roger and I got involved with this venture primarily as a way to get to know our local community back when we were fairly new to the area ourselves. We now take pride in the fact that cafe helps bring people together and makes them feel included as part of the whole. We truly believe that the community spaces and cooperatives like ours transform what it means to live in an area. The new cooperative is one of the 31 new ventures supported by the Mid-Counties Cooperative under its pledge to create 50 cooperatives by 2027. Its pledge focuses on supporting startup co-ops with access to funding, business planning and specialist mentoring from cooperative development bodies to give people a greater say over the services they rely upon." Ms. Smalley said they had support from the Mid-Counties Cooperatives as well as organisations in Oxfordshire such as Make Space Oxford and the Doris Field Trust and the Talking Shop at Stanford, which provided inspiration. She added, "The venture really has become an important meeting point for our community, and we know that locals are grateful to have a place to come together. We are all so pleased with everything the mill has achieved, and this would not have happened without our fellow volunteers, who are not only amazing at what they do, but also make the whole experience so enjoyable and above all fun." Peter Westall, Chief Values Officer at the Mid-Counties Cooperative, said, "Fairness means giving communities the chance to build businesses that truly serve them. From climate action to inclusive retail, these new co-ops show what's possible when people come together around shared values. We believe that cooperation is one of the most effective tools that we have built to build resilient and ethical people-focused communities."
The Fire Brigades Union is calling on ministers to tax polluters as services struggle to respond to the growing impacts of climate change, such as wildfires and floods. The union, which represents more than 30,000 fire responders in the UK, has joined the Polluters Pay Pact, a Greenpeace initiative that brings together climate hit communities, concerned citizens, first responders, and political leaders. The pact urges governments around the world to make high-emitting firms pay their fair share for the climate damage caused. The Fire Brigades Union has warned that a decade of funding cuts has left the Fire and Rescue Service fragmented, overstretched and chronically underfunded. Steve Wright, General Secretary of the Fire Brigades Union, said, "While oil and gas giants profit from pollution, firefighters are left to deal with the sharp end of the climate crisis. Governments must get serious, make polluters pay, fund public services, and back a transition to clean, green energy."
Oxfordshire County Council has plans to strip drivers of the ability to park in an area of Chipping Norton on market days. The council responsible for highways has launched a consultation to let only market traders park in Marketplace, Chipping Norton on Wednesdays, working with West Oxford District Council The proposal is to allow traders to park in the Mark Bays between midnight on Tuesday, 6 p.m. to Wednesdays without restrictions. Oxford County Council said it's to better facilitate the management of the weekly market. Its consultation said the proposal will help ensure that both public safety and access is maintained during a period of heavy use, including an increase in more vulnerable road users, and allow for the effective enforcement for those vehicles not associated with the running and management of the market. For enforcement or management purposes, a vehicle will be considered to be a market trader when a vehicle is parked in the designated area for the purpose of street trading, or where the vehicle belongs to or is on hire or leased to a person who holds a valid market trader's permit. Chipping Norton, which has David Beckham, David Cameron and Jeremy Clarkson on its doorstep, holds the market every week and a farmer's market every month, also in Market Place.
A survey has been launched to gather feedback and ideas for improving Wantage Town Centre and Market Place. Oxfordshire County Council announced the initiative this month. The survey is part of a broader initiative to enhance the area, focusing on accessibility and promoting walking, wheeling and cycling. This follows a 2024 pledge by the County Council and Wantage Town Council to make Market Place more accessible and safer. Council officers have been collaborating with the local community, exploring ways to redesign the space to be more inviting for shopping, leisure or business. Councillor Judy Roberts, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Place, Environment and Climate Action, said, "Our vision for Wantage Market Place is to create a vibrant, welcoming and accessible space for everyone. We aim to enhance the historical charm of the market town while addressing the challenges of climate change. By improving opportunities for walking, wheeling, cycling and using public transport, we hope to make the marketplace a healthier, friendlier and safer environment for all." Councillor Roberts emphasised the project's early stage with a design yet to be developed. She encouraged the public to share their thoughts and make suggestions to shape the project designs and goals. "The aim is to gather insights on what matters to local residents and businesses to ensure the space is economically and environmentally beneficial in the future. The feedback will be used to develop a draft design with a further consultation planned for next year. People can participate in the survey on the Council's digital engagement and consultation platform, Let's Talk Oxfordshire. The consultation will close at 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday, July the 22nd, 2025. The survey will be supported by two drop-in events for the public to learn about the project and meet the team. These will be held on Saturday, July the 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Vale and Downland Museum, and Wednesday, July the 9th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Wantage Methodist Church. The draft design will undergo a further public consultation in 2026, with construction expected to commence once additional funding is secured. The Council is also considering making permanent the temporary pedestrian prioritisation at the west end of Market Place, introduced during the pandemic. This initiative, promoted by Wantage Town Council, offers outdoor seating and a safe, accessible route into Market Place from Mill Street. More details and the survey can be accessed at the Let's Talk Oxfordshire website.
Modern Art Oxford is a wonderful space for creatives, and Movements for Staying Alive is the main summer exhibition from 28th of June to 7th of September. This group explores movement as a means to learn, connect and foster a sense of community, featuring three new site-specific commissions from Jane Castry, Estamper and Leap Then Look, as well as works by Valerie Export, Anna Mendita, Harold Offay, Yvonne Rainier and more.
There could be an election for a new mayor for Oxfordshire and Berkshire as soon as 2027, the leader of the County Council has suggested. The government announced plans for devolution and local government reorganisation at the end of 2024, where two-tier authorities such as Oxfordshire would be abolished and replaced with unitary councils. Under the plans, councils would join with other authorities in nearby regions to form larger combined authorities, which could have elected mayors. There were initial proposals for Oxfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Berkshire to form a Thames Valley strategic authority, but the county council leader Liz Leffman revealed that Buckinghamshire was no longer part of these plans. Ms. Leffman said devolution was progressing with Berkshire and Oxfordshire during an Oxfordshire Health and Wellbeing Board meeting last week, Thursday, June the 26th. She said, "We expect there to be an election for a mayor sometime around 2026 or 2027. We're not quite sure exactly what that's supposed to look like because it will depend on the government's decision as to whether that's the right way forward. We have also been having conversations with Swindon, but the decision has been to progress something between the Berkshire authorities and Oxfordshire at this stage." She added that the councils had been in talks with Buckinghamshire Council, but that the county council was quite satisfied with its own devolution deal that they were granted by the previous government and did not want to join a wider authority. A county council spokesman said, "It is in the interest of Oxfordshire residents, businesses, institutions and investors to not just progress, but take an active role in the shaping of a future mayoral strategic authority. The government has been clear in its devolution white paper that mayoral strategic authorities are its preferred model. Discussions with Oxfordshire councils and neighbouring authorities in the Thames Valley have been taking place about developing our proposal for a mayoral strategic authority. No decisions have yet been taken about geography, but to seize the benefits of devolution, we do need scale. For those authorities, including Oxfordshire, that are not part of the devolution priority programme, we will be working with the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government locally, and the earliest time that shadow elections are expected is in May 2027. We anticipate that local residents, businesses and public sector bodies will be asked for their feedback on the proposed geography and operational framework of the proposed new authority, with a formal consultation run by the government. Ms. Leffman said that having a combined authority would bring significant advantages.
Bus passengers said they were relieved a diversion to a trading estate off Botley Road is ending today. Thames Water staff were called to a broken water main in Cripley Place in West Oxford on June 12th. At least one home in the area was flooded, and buses which had been using Abbey Road, Cripley Road and Cripley Place off Botley Road to turn around were diverted to Osneymead Industrial Estate in nearby Ferry Hinksey Road. Since June 12th, passengers had to make do with a temporary bus shelter in Ferry Hinksey Road and have faced the extra walk from the trading estate to the station. With temperatures soaring to around 30 degrees Celsius, passengers have had to huddle under one small gazebo to shelter from the sun while they wait for buses. But with limited room, many passengers have had to stand by the side of the road during the heatwave without any shelter. One passenger, Adriana Rutskinska, said, "We'll be very relieved when this is over. I park at Seacourt and come here for the Harcourt Hill bus." Charles Kirkpatrick, a trading standards officer from Whitney, said, "I've been working on the industrial estate, so it's been bad for me, but I can see it's far from ideal for a lot of people." A City of Oxford College student, Esme Lambert, said the switch to the trading estate had been a real pain, and she added she was pleased the temporary arrangement was coming to an end. Zach Iqbal, the owner of First Stop Spanner Works Garage in Ferry Hinksey Road, gave permission for part of his forecourt to be used for the bus shelter. He said, "We were happy to help. It's been far from ideal. I think the past few weeks have been difficult for everybody. Buses have been diverted off the Botley Road due to a multi-million pound scheme to revamp Oxford Station. The road has been closed at the rail bridge since April 2023, and will not reopen until August 2026. Francisco Marshall, working for Kia, has been directing buses as they have been reversing in Kingsmead Meadow to turn around the trading estate. He said, "We've been working 12-hour shifts in this heat, 5 or 6 days a week. It's been tough." Cosmin Bodia, a bus driver working for Stagecoach, said, "It's a shame that the turning circle next to the station wasn't maintained because side streets like Abbey Road are not used to such heavy traffic. Residents living in Abbey Road and the surrounding streets fear they now face a year of buses driving past their homes." A spokesperson for Network Rail confirmed buses were due to return to the Abbey Road diversion route.
It has just been declared the best news agent in the UK and counts tennis ace Emma Raducanu and Harry Potter star Mark Williams as its customers. And the owners of Oxford City Centre's Honeys of the High could not be prouder of the new official accolade from the Independent Retail Industries Fed Awards. Hiten Patel has run the independent shop in High Street for 12 years now with his wife Kanari, and said it feels amazing to win the award. "It's a recognition of our work that goes on day in, day out. Stuff that doesn't get noticed otherwise," proud Hiten said. Honeys of the High has earned the titles of Convenience Store of the Year and the Independent and News Agent of the Year, while also being highly commended in the Home News Delivery Retailer of the Year category. But what's the recipe for such success? The 50-year-old said, "Discipline, honesty, dedication. They're the wow words that we keep throwing around many times, but they do matter. Even though we do silly hours, as do many shops in the retail industry have, you have to enjoy the daily retail experience of meeting a lot of different customers and faces among your regulars. Among those faces to walk through the doors are actor Sean Evans, Harry Potter star Mark Williams, tennis star Emma Raducanu, who is performing at Wimbledon this week, and several Bollywood stars." Wife Kanari Patel added, "This business was brand new to us when we took it over from Mr. Honey. We hadn't done anything like it before. And we had great jobs before, but we made the jump to give our boys a better future. It was a new challenge for us, but we took it on and are proud of what we've achieved." She added, "The Home News Delivery Service supplies to most of 38 colleges in Oxford, introduced when the Patels took over the business along with alcohol sales." Father of two, Hyten hasn't always worked as a news agent, having given up a comfortable job in logistics before taking on the business and losing sleep. He also commutes around 90 minutes to his business from his home near Heathrow Airport to be at the shop by 5:30 a.m. daily, he said. "It wasn't like a spur-of-the-moment thing, owning a news agent," the businessman added. "We were always thinking of getting into a certain business of our own, and we explored a few options before this one just turned up." Houghton added, "We've been doing this for 12 years now, and long may it continue."
An Oxford MP walked along a railway line as a show of support for its reopening as a passenger train route. Annalise Dodds, MP for Oxford East, went for a 4.5-hour hike with other campaigners along the route of the freight-only Cowley branch line. She said, "Scheduling passenger services on the train line would be a huge boost for local communities and cut carbon emissions to boot. Every year she walks along the route of the existing link between Oxford train station and the BMW mini plant in Cowley, an attempt to raise awareness of the issue. This year she was joined by a record crowd," as she said, "Support for the campaign continues to grow." Ms. Dodds said, "Reopening the Cowley branch line would be such a huge boost for the communities of Cowley, Littlemore and Blackbird Leas. It would make so many local people's journeys faster and easier, promote local jobs and growth, cut carbon emissions and help deliver much needed housing." The walk, which took the group past the proposed sites for the new train stations in Cowley and Littlemore, was almost 5 hours long, but by train it would have been 10 minutes.
Blenheim Palace has announced its annual Nocturne Live concerts will be replaced by a new festival next year. The stately home in Woodstock has added its contract with Nocturne Live, which has staged a concert series attracting top acts including Elton John and Gary Barlow after its 10th anniversary events last weekend. Fans were disappointed by the news that Nocturne Live would no longer be held in the iconic setting. A spokesperson for Blenheim Palace announced a new event, Blenheim Palace Festival, will take place in the summer of 2026. The spokesperson said, "Set against the spectacular backdrop of the UNESCO World Heritage Site, Blenheim Palace Festival will feature an eclectic lineup of global superstars, award-winning artists, and emerging talent. The festival will also showcase immersive cultural programming and innovative culinary experiences, creating a unique destination event rooted in creativity, heritage, and community. The event is a collaboration between live music promoters Cuff and Taylor, who have worked with an extensive and varied list of artists, including Britney Spears, Lewis Capaldi, and Sam Fender, and sports and culture company IMG. Nocturne Live announced last week that the event would not be returning to Blenheim next year. However, organisers said they intended to remain in Oxfordshire, saying, "There is still so much music we can't wait to bring to Oxfordshire." The organisers also thanked the Woodstock Palace for hosting 10 years of glorious shows. This year's Nocturne Live series included The Verve frontman Richard Ashcroft, The Corrs, Nile Rodgers and Chic, and Gary Barlow. Over the years, the series has presented shows starring a host of huge international stars, including Lionel Richie, Elton John, Kylie Minogue, Nile Rodgers, Lauryn Hill, Noel Gallagher, Gregory Porter, Van Morrison, Tears for Fears, Gladys Knight, Elvis Costello, Simple Minds, and Ennio Morricone. Blenheim Palace also hosts a range of other events, including the Blenheim Palace Flower Show, which returned last weekend. The estate also has the long-running Battle Proms picnic concert in July, and a dog fest is also taking place this month. This year, the Palace will be hosting the British Transplant Games from July the 31st to August the 3rd, which will include events such as archery and pétanque. The games aim to raise awareness of the life-saving benefits of organ donation, encouraging transplant recipients to stay active post-recovery through competing in 24 different sports.
More than 100 people are objecting to the plans for a new travellers' site in an Oxfordshire village ahead of a key meeting. An applicant listed as Mr. J. Bell wants to use land off the A4221 Bicester Road at Fringford as a four-pitch traveller caravan site. The site has been the subject of previous application for a travellers in 2023, but this was refused. The latest plan has been recommended for permission ahead of Chawa District Council's planning committee on July the 3rd, despite it receiving 118 letters of objection. In addition, the Parish Council in Fringford, Heath, Stratton Audley and Cottesford have objected. Sally Moon of Manor Farm Fringford said Fringford is a very small village with one pub and one school, is therefore unable to support such a site. The nearest shops and amenities are 5 kilometres away along the busy, fast-moving A4421. There is a reduced visibility for access to the proposed site along that particular stretch of road, making it very dangerous. I am also concerned about nature in that area, and a change of use on this site will disrupt the native wildlife. We are already losing so many of our green spaces, and I am sure that there are many other more suitable sites available that are far safer and better suited to such a plan. Rachel Dewhurst of Glen Close, Stratton Audley, added, "I object to the development of a traveller camp in this location due to the urbanisation of rural area, impact on historical village and impact on a busy and fast road. Access would be dangerous, the area is also prone to flooding, and no sewage is proposed. This resulting pollution would adversely impact on the quality of the local environment. Paul Roberts of Launton Road, Stratton Audley, said, "I do not think that this is the best location or even a suitable location for a four-pitch traveller's caravan site due to its remote location, the local services, amenities and the pleasant countryside environment that it will be built upon. This is an area of natural beauty which we would appreciate being preserved for both environmental sustainability and the possible likely impact on local house prices." The planning officer's report said, "Whilst the council can demonstrate a 5-year supply of deliverable pitches, it cannot identify any available sites that it could be occupied immediately by the applicant. In addition, the recent appeal decision identified the lack of traveller site allocations to meet the needs of gypsy travellers in the area. Therefore, weight must be given to the benefits of providing additional pitches to meet the personal needs of the applicants."
Children across Oxfordshire are being invited to take part in a summer reading challenge. Titled Story Garden, the challenge aims to keep children engaged with reading during the holidays. It's free to enter and is available in libraries and online. From July the 5th to September the 6th, children can collect stickers for each book they read. Those who complete the challenge at an Oxfordshire County Council library will receive a medal, a certificate, and be entered into a prize draw. Those under 4 can also join in with their own mini-challenge. Councillor Neil Fawcett, Deputy Leader of Oxfordshire County Council, said, "The 2025 Summer Reading Challenge is a celebration of adventure, fantasy, and the great outdoors. We hope to inspire children throughout Oxfordshire to tap into a world of imagination through reading and exploring the magical connection between storytelling and nature." National statistics show that only 1 in 3 children report enjoying reading, so this annual event is more important than ever before.
Drinkers at one of Oxford's narrowest pubs are enjoying the sunshine, with customers choosing to enjoy a drink outside. The White Horse in Broad Street has limited space inside, but there is plenty of seating immediately in front of the pub, which was set up following pedestrianisation of the street in 2021. With temperatures hitting 30 degrees C or even higher, the White Horse is one of the best options for a pint in the city right now. So once again, it has been selected as Oxford Mail's Pub of the Week. Situated next door to Blackwell's, the pub has been popular over the years with some famous visitors, including Sir Winston Churchill, former US President Bill Clinton. Owner Tom Reynolds said the pub was particularly busy at this time of year. He added, "We have lots of tables outside and our customers love to buy a drink and sit outside in the sunshine. We've got a lot of tables outside, but if they get full, people go and sit on the planters nearby. When the car parking spaces were removed from Broad Street in 2021, it created space for tables outside businesses like the White Horse. Street furniture, including planters, has been positioned in different areas. The pub has appeared in 3 episodes of the Inspector Morse television series based on the detective novels of Oxford author Colin Dexter, who died in 2017, aged 86. The episodes were Last Seen Wearing, 1988, The Dead of Jericho, 1987, and The Secret of Bay 5B, 1989. The pub is known for being a favourite spot of Morse and Lewis, and a sign on the wall reminds drinkers that the TV drama was filmed there. Real ale includes Timothy Taylor's Landlord and Loose Cannon from Abingdon, and there's a menu featuring pub favourites, including fish and chips for £15 and a double cheeseburger for £14. On Ruby Tuesday from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m, a curry and a pint costs £10. Dave Richardson of the Oxford branch of Campaign for the Real Ale Group, Camera, has written a book called Oxford Pubs, which was published in 2015. In the book, he references the pub's links with Inspector Morse, saying the White Horse appears in 3 episodes of the Inspector Morse. Cast and crew members have also frequented the pub, including during the filming of Lewis and Endeavour. It also appears in the 2008 feature film The Oxford Murders, starring John Hurt and Elijah Wood.
People living with dementia and carers are again being invited to join a thriving support group, which is designed to provide space for fun and relaxation. The Hanborough Forget-Me-Nots meet for informal get-togethers filled with entertaining games and activities. The group meet at Long Hanborough Methodist Church on the first Tuesday of every month between 10 a.m. and midday. The Memory Friendship Cafe is organised by Judy Haynes, who runs the event with other volunteers. Funded by the Methodist Church, activities have included musical sing-alongs and dog bingo, in which a hound picks numbers for the caller. Worldwide, more than 55 million people are living with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. The group aims to help tackle the isolation frequently experienced by those affected. For further information, please email Judy Haynes at j&g@cahaynes.plus.com.
The developer of a garden village west of Oxford says the council's net zero ambitions are prescriptive and unreasonable, despite concerns that the scheme could be watered down. The Salt Cross Garden Village would lie off the A40 near Ensham and would include 2,200 new homes, a new science business park, schools and community facilities. The Planning Inspectorate previously rejected West Oxfordshire District Council's plans to make the development fully carbon net zero and decided it would not be a requirement of the scheme. The District Council resubmitted their net policy zero policy, known as Policy 2, for further examination following a successful highest court challenge by Rights Community Action, RCA, in February 2024. The policy states that the development must achieve net zero operational carbon on-site through ultra-low energy fabric, low-carbon technologies and on-site renewable energy generation. A public hearing discussing whether the net zero policy can be formally included in the Area Action Plan took place online on Monday. In the hearing statement ahead of the meeting, RCA said there would be a damaging precedent if the net zero policy of the scheme is again watered down, and that the scheme could become a trailblazing zero carbon development to which other developments will aspire. It added, "If the Secretary of State is to have any hope of achieving net zero by 2050, local authorities must be allowed to put forward policies such as Policy 2, which will help build the homes Britain needs, while at the same time contributing to radical reductions in greenhouse gas emissions." Oxford County Council and West Oxford District Council also expressed support for the net zero policy. Councillor Hugo Ashton, Executive Member for Planning on the District Council, said ahead of the meeting, "Salt Cross represents a bold vision for the future development in West Oxfordshire. Our proposed net zero policy ensures that sustainability is at the heart of this new community. We believe the policy is ambitious, practical and supported by strong evidence, and we are committed to working with the planning inspector to see it through." However, developers Grosvenor Developments Limited said that the policy requirements were prescriptive and unreasonable, that they did not match national policy and they were undermine the deliverability of Salt Cross, in a hearing statement ahead of the meeting. They put forward a number of alternative options, including removing the policy entirely and relying on national environmental standards, or making the net zero targets aspirational rather than a strict requirement. The District Council and Grosvenor also had different estimates for how much extra the net zero scheme will cost, with the District Council stating it would cost an extra £19.5 million and the developers expecting it to cost between £40 and £50 million. The Planning Inspector, Helen Hockenhull, will produce a short report outlining her findings based on the public hearing.
A pub in Didcot has shut down for the summer while new management takes over. The Royal Oak in Park Road is a popular spot with locals, offering games, sports, reasonably priced pub classics and an extensive drinks menu. But regulars will be disappointed for the rest of the summer while the pub is temporarily closed for refurbishment. A statement from the owner said, "Exciting changes are on the way. The pub is getting a fresh new look and welcoming new management. will be reopening at the beginning of August. We are ready to serve you with a whole new vibe.
A care home has opened its doors to the community for a dementia-friendly barbershop day. Crawley Grove in Cumnor welcomed people living with the condition to benefit from the service alongside its residents. The home is committed to supporting the dementia-friendly barber and hairdressers initiative, which aims to bring a compassionate specialist grooming service to care homes. Home manager Angelica Ziomek said, "To be able to share our fabulous facilities with the wider community is a privilege. The salon is a great feature of the home and one that we are incredibly proud of. The home treated 12 people to free haircuts and shaves on the day, with local barber Dan donating his time. Dan said, being able to spend extra time taking and getting to know you at the gents is really special. You can see that you are making them feel good about themselves and they all like looking smart. This has been a great experience for us and I'm thrilled to have been asked to be part of it."
An animal charity has released some top tips about keeping pets cool in the hot weather. Temperatures in Oxford and in its surroundings reached over 30 degrees centigrade last Monday, after the county basked in hot weather over the weekend as well. According to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, RSPCA, these conditions can pose huge risks to pets. Campaign manager at the charity, Carrie Stone, said, "We're being warned by authorities that almost all regions in England will experience temperatures as hot as up to 30 degrees Celsius, which is great for most of us, but for our pets it can be a different story. It's important we do everything we can to keep them cool and comfortable while the heat is here, and we're urging animal lovers to share our best tips to help. One of the RSPCA's main pieces of advice is that dogs should not be left in vehicles during hot days. Indeed, data from the Royal Veterinary College showed that being left in hot cars or vans now accounts for 1 in 10 dogs treated for heat stroke. Among the other tips are to use pet-safe sunscreen cream and to ensure animals always have constant access to shade and fresh drinking water. Pesticides should be kept out of reach of animals, and the RSPCA added that damp towels could be used for pets to lie on. In terms of specific advice, the charity said fish tanks should be kept out of direct sunlight and advised that small animals and poultry are checked twice a day for fly strike when flies lay eggs on animals. Pet snake enclosures should be kept secure as they are more active in hot weather, and paddling pools can be set up for dogs to play in. Ms. Stones added that the heat can be challenging for wildlife as well as domesticated animals. She said, "It's also a really helpful idea to support local wildlife too by popping out some bowls of water to help birds, foxes and other wildlife. In addition, members of the general public should be especially conscious of hidden hedgehogs when mowing the lawn and should check bonfire piles particularly thoroughly before setting them alight, as lizards, grass snakes and toads often seek sanctuary there. Pond life can be kept safe by ensuring water levels remain high and that some of it is underneath shade." A full list of recommendations, including video demonstrations about making ice snacks for pets, can be found on the RSPCA's website.
National Deadline has issued a warning to those living in Oxford to keep bailiffs away. It comes as it has been revealed council tax arrears owed to Oxford City Council now stands at £6.7 million, according to the government. The Independent and Free Debt Advice Service said the figure is significant and indicates the impact that cost of living pressures have had in escalating arrears levels in the city. Steve Vade, Chief Executive at Money Advice Trust, the charity that runs National Debtline, said unwaveringly high arrears in levels in Oxford and across England underline the need for urgent action. "Every day at National Debtline we see how council tax continues to be one of the most common debts people face. Councils have a vital role in helping residents with unmanageable bills and to ensure council tax, crucial to funding local services, is collected in a way that is fair and affordable. I would urge anyone in Oxford worried about their council tax or any other bills to seek free, independent advice from National Debtline. Our advisors are here to help and can talk you through your options. Current rules mean that households can become liable for their full annual council tax bill if they miss one payment, which often results in a quick escalation to a bailiff action. Ms. Vade warns unless there is a change made at policy level, arrears are likely to keep climbing.
Leo Snowden, the youngest player to represent Oxford United, has signed his first professional contract with the club. The 17-year-old forward has signed a long-term deal, the Ewes have announced. Snowden was just 15 years and 157 days old when he came off the bench for United in their 5-0 win at home against Chelsea under-21s in the EFL Trophy back in November 2023, becoming the club's youngest ever player. The attacker, who will join the Ewes first team for the pre-season trip to Indonesia, told the club website, "Every young footballer wants to receive their first contract. Now that this has been achieved, there is a lot of work to do to push on. This contract doesn't mean I now have a career. I need to do everything I can to push myself to the next step. I want to get closer to the first team and work as hard as I can. The ambition is to make an appearance for the first team in the next season, and I will be doing my best to show that I can be at the highest level possible." United's head of football operations, Ed Waldron, added, "Leo has been one of the standout performers in the youth academy over several years. He has developed well with each season, and we feel he has a bright future at the club. Last season, Leo was in outstanding form. This contract reflects the work he has put in. Now we want to see if he can make an impact at senior level." Jamie Cumming has become the latest Oxford United player to sign a new contract. The 25-year-old goalkeeper has firmly established himself as the club's number one after initially joining on loan from Chelsea in January 2024. Cumming never made a Blues first team appearance and spent time on loan at Stevenage, Gillingham and MK Dons prior to joining United. He played 23 times in the second half of the 23-24 campaign, keeping 7 clean sheets, including 2 in the League One playoff matches. His displays prompted the club to move for Cumming on a permanent basis last June. He played in 45 of the 46 Championship games last season, keeping 13 clean sheets and solidifying his position as one of the club's key players. Only 7 Championship goalkeepers kept more clean sheets than last season, with Cumming establishing himself as one of the league's best performing stoppers. It's understood that Cumming's deal was set to expire next summer. Therefore, a fresh contract is a key piece of business for the club this summer. Cumming, who has signed a long-term deal, told the United club website, "The 18 months I have had at Oxford United have been the most enjoyable and successful of my career. There have been so many high moments, and I want to continue to play my part in taking the club forward. I have developed immensely since joining, and I know that by extending my deal, I will only improve further. We have a brilliant goalkeeping department at the club, headed up by Lewis Price, and I'd like to say a massive thank you to them. Each day, the standard in our group is at such a level it pushes you to be a better version of yourself as a goalkeeper and a person. The supporters have also been so encouraging. They have made me feel at home since day one, and I want to ensure I give everything back to help the club this season and beyond." Ewes head of football operations, Ed Waldron, added, "Watching Jamie develop into the keeper he is today has been brilliant to see. Signing a young goalkeeper on loan, it's difficult to know with certainty how it will play out. But after taking a few months to bed in, Jamie has been exceptional. He is showing himself as a great shot stopper and someone who is fantastic with the ball at his feet." Cumming joins fellow keepers Simon Eastwood and Matt Ingram plus Kieran Brown, Sam Long, James Golding, Josh Johnson and Mark Harris in signing new deals. Teenage forward Leo Snowden has signed his first professional contract.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.